On this edition of the Iowa Business Report.
One of the things that we're really putting a lot of attention to right now is the issue of rural EMS services.
Enhancing rural areas of Iowa to benefit the economy. Starting a business in Iowa is a good idea, according to a new survey. And in our business profile, we'll hear about a Cedar Rapids business that has locations around the world. This is the Iowa Business Report for the third weekend of May 2023.
The Iowa Business Report is a copyrighted production of Totally Iowa Media, which is solely responsible for its content. For more, click on the radio programs button at totallyiowa.com. Here is Jeff Stein.
Adam Gregg is Iowa's lieutenant governor and has been a highly visible part of the Reynolds administration as an advocate for rural development. Lieutenant Governor Gregg gave opening remarks at a conference in Newton on May 11th, sponsored by the Iowa Employee Ownership Center. We spoke shortly after that about initiatives to build a broad, strong state economy.
Governor has tasked me with leading what's called the Governor's Empower Rural Iowa Initiative, and we're working on dealing with some of the, you know, real challenges that our rural communities face. So we've done a lot of work in broadband connectivity, in rural housing, in leadership development for our rural communities. One of the things that we're really putting a lot of attention to right now is the issue of rural EMS services. In some of our rural counties, the average ambulance response times can be 25 to 30 minutes. And there's a lot of reasons for that. This is despite the hard work of some really outstanding people who are willing to serve their community in this way. But it's part of our population challenge. It's part of the fact that in some of these counties, you've got one population center and then outlying rural areas that are just difficult to get to very quickly. So we're looking at different ways that we can approach that challenge. I'm really excited about this concept. So we have a pilot program that we're calling Iowa United First Aid. And the brief story behind it is that I was on a trade mission to Israel with five other lieutenant governors. We had an amazing experience. We met with the prime minister at the time. We met with Benjamin Netanyahu, who's now back as prime minister. We had the opportunity to see some of the holy sites and do some economic development meetings. But we also visited a nonprofit called United Hatzalah. Hatzalah is the Hebrew word for rescue. And the best way to describe what they do is they're a volunteer-based EMS service that's like Uber for EMS. In other words, they use technology to identify the closest first responders and deploy them to the emergency as quickly as possible and stabilize them until the ambulance can come. In Jerusalem and Tel Aviv, their response times are down to 90 seconds on average. And across all of Israel, 3 minutes. So I thought, could we borrow this concept and adapt this concept in a way that would work to meet this rural Iowa challenge? So we put out a pilot program that would allow us to test this out in some of our rural counties. And so we have had three counties submit a final application, and those are being considered right now. But I'm really excited about the opportunity to think differently about this challenge, to use technology to help solve it, to get more people incorporated into serving others in a life-saving way. So I'm really excited about that, and I think it shows kind of an example of some of the concrete work that we're doing to improve life in rural Iowa.
One of the great benefits of a rural state is that you have space, you have the wide open spaces, you don't have to live in a densely populated area. Nothing against those who like doing that. I live in a rural area, and that's by choice. But anything you can do to connect those rural areas so that they have the same advantages. And that's where technology comes in.
Absolutely. And that's why we've talked so much about broadband connectivity in our state. Through the Governor's Empower Rural Iowa Initiative and with the leadership of Governor Reynolds, we have really made significant investments in that broadband connectivity. It's so important for people to be able to participate in the modern economy, but also to have these modern conveniences. Streaming Netflix. I've got a 12-year-old son at home who loves to play Fortnite with his friends, right? He's connected in order to be able to do that. But boy, it's so important for business as well. And this is just an example of how we can deploy that type of connectivity to solve this challenge. And that's what it's going to take. You know, one of the things that we've been talking about at this conference has been that some of the challenges that are posed by some of the population changes that we see across the country and here in Iowa as well. Retirement of the baby boomers, putting a lot of pressure on workforce and things like that. We're going to have to face down that challenge on a number of fronts, but one of the ways that we can meet that is through the use of technology and being smart about that. And connectivity is a key aspect of that.
It seems to me, and you would have numbers, but I know anecdotally, with the pandemic, many people worked from home. Now, here in Iowa, we had so many vital workers in so many industries, we didn't have the same work from home issues as other states. When you feed the world, you have to still go to work. But it seems like it's a great opportunity for the revitalization of rural areas because, again, you can telecommute. And if you can telecommute, you can do that from anywhere. And that's got to be a shot in the arm for the small towns where we grew up or these smaller towns just outside larger metro areas.
Yeah, we really are starting to hear stories about that, of folks who have chosen to relocate from larger metro areas in other states, who've been attracted to the quality of life that our rural communities represent, and the fact that they're able to do basically any job around the world from wherever they are, so long as they have that key link, so long as they have that connectivity. And boy, we have really made some significant investments in this. I remember when we first started talking about connectivity in rural Iowa, you know, Governor Reynolds and I would go to the legislature and we'd be hoping to get $10 or $15 million. And then the pandemic came and this was an issue that you just couldn't avoid. It was clear that connectivity was incredibly important. So after that, suddenly there was $100 million appropriation from the state legislature at governor's request. That's, I think, the largest line item appropriation that we've ever had in our state. I think it shows the importance that was placed on that. On top of that, there's been these federal dollars that the governor has had discretion over. She's dedicated over $250 million to that. So collectively, we're talking $350 million in the past few years going to broadband grants that aren't limited to rural Iowa, but have a huge impact in rural Iowa. And that's leveraging nearly $1 billion of private investment on top of that. That really makes a difference on the ground in our rural communities.
For someone who is considering relocating a business to Iowa, starting a business in Iowa, whether it is one with employees or a single member limited liability company, give some examples or specifics as to why Iowa is open for business.
Yeah, absolutely. Boy, where do I even begin? I think it starts with leadership at the top and very business-friendly administration. I know this is something that's incredibly important to Governor Reynolds, certainly important to myself as well. We want to make clear that Iowa is open for business. And so we've done that. Governor Reynolds has signed the largest tax cut in Iowa history last year with an income tax cut that included also a corporate income tax cut as well. But even the personal income tax cut impacts the pass-through businesses, which most small businesses are organized as. So that's a huge deal where we are on our way down to a 3.9% flat tax here in Iowa. That's huge progress. We used to be at an 8.98% tax rate at the top. We're going to be much more competitive with our neighbors and those across the country when we get down to 3.9%. And Governor Reynolds has been clear that that's not it. We're not going to stop there. Last week, Governor Reynolds signed a property tax reform proposal. That's another piece of the tax code that impacts small businesses. And by making that situation better, again, we're becoming more business friendly. We're looking at our rules and regulations and making sure that those aren't a barrier to business growth and opportunity. And lastly, I would just point to the work that we're doing at this conference today in Newton, talking about employee ownership and how we can make sure that we're keeping these businesses in Iowa, and particularly in rural Iowa. Lots of times in small towns, there's one or two major employers who are really important to that local economy by providing jobs and investment. And as those business owners, statistics would tell us, 2/3 of Iowa businesses with at least one employee are owned by a baby boomer. They're going to be facing retirement here in the near future. What's going to happen when they do that? How do we keep that wealth and prosperity right here? So today we're talking about how employee ownership can be one great way for the owner to sell those businesses to the employees, for those employees to become owners themselves, and to continue to have those jobs and opportunities right in our rural communities. And a secondary advantage of that is we're supporting that next generation of entrepreneur. So I think it's just another example of how Iowa is open for business and getting more so every day, and we're going to continue down that path.
Iowa Lieutenant Governor Adam Gregg. We spoke in Newton on Thursday, May 11. Still to come, if you're looking for a place to start a business, look no further. And later, expanding onto an already world-class facility. You're listening to the Iowa Business Report.
Hello, Iowa. This is Michael Swanger, owner of Iowa History Journal. Our May-June issue features stories about country music legend C.W. McCall, the Dubuque Packers baseball team, Keokuk's historic Lock and Dam No. 19, and the second part of our exclusive series about Grenville Dodge. Pick up the May-June issue of Iowa History Journal at Hy-Vee, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, and select Mills Fleet Farm stores, or visit iowahistoryjournal.com.
The Iowa Business Report is presented by Advance Iowa, educating, guiding, advising, and coaching Iowa businesses. Search for Advance Iowa on LinkedIn and Facebook and get more at advanceiowa.com. If you've been thinking of starting a business, there's hardly a better spot in which to do that than Iowa. That's according to a new study from the accounting software company Acunto. Iowa is the second best state in which to start that business, according to the study, just behind Montana and just ahead of Colorado. The research considered the following factors in coming up with these ratings: corporate tax rates, business filing fees, private sector establishment closure rate, monthly commercial energy bills, household income, and the number of workers between the ages of 16 and 64 in each state's workforce. Iowa has a very low business establishment death rate, only 2.13%, some 25% below the national average. Iowa's average business energy bill is fifth lowest in the nation, leaving more capital for a business to invest beyond paying for those necessities. Our median income is $102,220, some $2,500 above the national average. And we have the sixth highest employment rate in the country. 79.5% of Iowa citizens between the ages of 16 and 64 are working. And that's not just random information. Google searches for how to start a business have increased 28.9% from the start of the pandemic until now, showing a continued strong interest in entrepreneurship. Coming up, an Iowa company focused on sustainable products and services. You're listening to the Iowa Business Report.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio for their news, weather, sports, and a community connection. It's the backbone of the emergency alert system. It's critical that we keep AM radio in cars, because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress we need AM radio in cars.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to four messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Support for the Iowa Business Report comes from the Iowa Business Council, a nonpartisan nonprofit organization working to elevate Iowa's economy through leadership, research, and advocacy. Learn more and review the latest quarterly member survey by going to iowabusinesscouncil.org. In this week's business profile, I'll introduce you to Brian Burmeister, Manager of Manufacturing Excellence with International Paper in Cedar Rapids. This Iowa-based company already has global reach and aims to increase its footprint in Iowa.
International Paper is basically a global paper manufacturing company. This is actually the 125th anniversary of the company's start. We started in 1898 and basically have just, you know, grown throughout the years. We hold paper manufacturing facilities all across the world, as well as timberland holdings and everything along those lines. The primary businesses, so the face of the company has changed throughout the years as far as the products that they make. And they've been part of different divestitures and expansions and purchases throughout the years. The current face of the company right now basically dabbles primarily in industrial packaging and what we call global cellulose fibers. And so industrial packaging is basically containerboard manufacturing, so boxes, essentially. And then Global Cellulose Fibers, that's about, the industrial packaging is about 82% of the company's total revenue. The remaining 18% is Global Cellulose Fibers. And that is basically the manufacture of absorbent fibers that go into personal care products, feminine hygiene products, diapers, along those lines. The way I like to talk about the company is essentially we make products that people rely on every day. And if you think about it, those are products that people rely on, whether it's containers, boxes, hygiene products, diapers, things like that. Those are the backbone of the type of things that people use every single day. So that's the current face of International Paper.
So talk about the Iowa holdings, where you're located, and how many employees are based here as opposed to globally.
In Iowa, we just have one paper facility, which is the one that I work at here in Cedar Rapids. And we are actually the largest 100% recycled paper mill in North America. To put it in context, we bring in over 1 million tons of waste paper every single year, and we turn that into about approximately another 1 million tons of product that goes into the manufacture of containerboard. I always tell folks here at the paper manufacturing facility, we don't make boxes, we make the paper that makes boxes. And so our finished product are large parent rolls weighing anywhere from 3,000 to 8,000 pounds each that go to box converting facilities, and they then turn them into boxes for our finished customers. Now, we have several box plants also within the state of Iowa, one here in Cedar Rapids, another in Waterloo, a couple of different cities that then convert the paper that we make into finished product for our end-use customers. The facility right here in Cedar Rapids, the paper manufacturing facility, employs about 230 people.
I smiled when you said, well, we have just the Cedar Rapids facility here in Iowa. It's only the largest in all of North America of its kind, and you're growing it even larger.
That's correct. So pretty exciting times for us. It was a huge day when this mill was built in this location. It was fantastic. It was cutting edge. It was the first of its kind to be in the Midwest and do what it is we do. And since then, we've been a great company, and I've spent the majority of my career at this facility. The expansion that we're going to be taking on here in the next several years is very exciting. So we're going to be basically putting two natural gas fired boilers on site to produce our own steam. We currently take steam from the local utility down the road and use that in our paper manufacturing process. At the end of 2025, that facility will no longer be able to produce us steam based on regulations regarding coal-fired emissions. And so the company has chosen to invest a substantial amount of capital into this facility to build our own steam generation plant right here on site to produce our own steam. It's the single largest investment that this mill has seen ever since it started up in the mid-90s. So we're very excited about that.
And it shows commitment to the area, to the business, to employees, and it really allows you to, in essence, row your own boat, because rather than having to rely on others, you're taking it all in-house, and then you can control costs, you can control efficiency, and make sure that it's customly tailored for what you do.
Exactly right. We're going to have a lot more control of our own operation. And the biggest thing is just what you hit on, the investment in this facility as a long-term employer of choice, a long-term player within International Paper's portfolio, and stability. You know, stability to the community, stability of jobs in the area, and stability to economic growth in the area as well. So it's just it's a great thing for us. It's going to be a great thing for International Paper. And just as importantly, it's going to be a great thing for the community.
As you described what you do at the plant you have, and then there are the other box plants, I mean, it's a great example to me of blending horizontal and vertical integration, because you have the best of all of those things, the best of both of those economic models, if you will.
Exactly. We have the ability, you know, we make the paper here on site, and then we send the paper to the box plants where they convert it to the finished product. And so the holdings we have here in Iowa isn't just the paper mill itself. We have a lot more of a thumbprint in Iowa than what most people realize. And the reality is we service internal and external customers, sometimes within 300 to 400 mile radius of the mill. The reach that we have is greater than even just the state of Iowa, from bringing in raw materials from all the way from Minneapolis to Omaha to St. Louis, and then turning it into product and sending those products back out as far as Pennsylvania and Missouri out west, you know, to Colorado. The mill itself has a big impact to the entire area.
People pay a lot of attention to the materials that go into packaging these days, not brand new. We've been concerned for some period of time, but there is heightened emphasis these days. What are some of the challenges and opportunities that that might bring to the industry and your business in particular?
The challenges, as with most businesses, is competition. With a business like this, and with, you know, an economy, especially when the economy grows, as of right now, you know, the economy, I think, isn't growing quite as much as we all would like, but it will. And as it does grow, competition comes into play. And so there's more paper companies that then are converting to produce container board, or they're building container board mills. And then that puts competition for raw materials. It puts a competition for resources. And so that's one of the biggest challenges we have moving forward, is being a supplier of choice when big box users like Amazon have choice. They have choice in the market, and they can choose where they get their materials from to ship their materials in. And so continuing to stay ahead of that competition, continuing to maintain good relationships with our customers and develop and maintain those relationships long term, I think is one of the biggest challenges we have when you're dealing with a commodity market that continues to get more and more competitive by the year. The paper industry itself sometimes, I think, has a bit of a negative connotation to it because of its impact on trees, right? And so folks always think of, well, deforestation, trees, things like that. And I want to make sure that folks understand that international paper and all paper manufacturing processes is an extremely sustainable process. Our future, our livelihood depends and thrives on the ability to have to be sustainable. And so we're very proud of the fact that we're the largest recycle mill in North America, but we're also proud of IP's sustainability efforts to make sure that we're managing our forest lands, you know, and we're continuing to make sure that we have the ability to continue, you know, operations and have places for future generations to work and everything into the future.
Brian Burmeister, Manager of Manufacturing Excellence with International Paper in Cedar Rapids, online at internationalpaper.com. We connected via Zoom on Friday, May 12. And that brings us to the close of this week's program. We're back again next week at this same time. In the meantime, you can listen to all or part of today's program by going to totallyiowa.com and clicking on the radio programs link. That's where you'll find podcasts of full interviews with many of the folks you hear on this program. They're listed as IBR Extras and IBR Business Profiles. And we're also found on all the major podcast distributors, 19 now in all. The Iowa Business Report is presented by Advance Iowa, providing business solutions and support to small to medium-sized businesses. Let's work together. More at advanceiowa.com. And search for Advance Iowa on LinkedIn and Facebook. We welcome your comments. Send them by email to radio@totallyiowa.com. I'm Jeff Stein. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you have a prosperous week.
The Iowa Business Report is a copyrighted production of Totally Iowa Media, which is solely responsible for its content. For more, click on the radio programs button at totallyiowa.com.